Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, June 30th, 2014. And with me today is Dave Hamilton. How's it going, Dave?
It goes, Jeff. Thanks for having me, man.
Oh, sure thing. It's good to hear your voice. It's been a little while since you've been around.
Yeah, it's been a little over a week. Yeah.
Yeah,
good
stuff. Just about. Yeah. And also, Brian Chaffin, I hope you're doing well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Good stuff. Good times.
Awesome. That's as it should be.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of good times, and by the way, Brian, I'm really working on my awkward segues, as
Excellent.
Taught by you.
Excellent.
Speaking of good times, Facebook was apparently toying with us, seeing if we could have good times or bad times.
Yeah, Facebook did or allowed a little psychological research to be done on a subset of Facebook users, where they controlled the tone of posts in some users' news streams in order to see how it affected their own posting.
They didn't change the tone. They just filtered and only allowed certain types of things through to certain users to see how they reacted.
Yeah, so the control group was unfiltered. Some users received more negative or only negative sentiment posts, and some users received only positive sentiment posts. And the experiment was to see how that affected those users, and it turns out that the people who saw positive stuff tended to post more positively themselves, and conversely, those who saw the negative post tended to post negative things.
Now, okay, so on one hand, this is interesting because it's a very easy way to look at how social media can affect the mood of people that use different services. So
yeah, well, and there wasn't much of a surprise here. I mean, this sort of, you know, contagious moods have been understood for a long time. Part of what's so got everybody in an uproar over this is the fact that no one was asked to participate.
And to be fair, I'm not necessarily defending Facebook entirely here, but to be fair, if they had told people what was going on, that would have ruined the experiment.
Sure.
No. This has been done for decades. There are ways of asking people to volunteer for a psychological study without telling them exactly what it is that's going to be studied.
That's true. Yeah, fair point. Fair point.
And I don't care if it would have changed. With great power comes great responsibility. It's a Spider-Man concept, but it's a fantastic
true.
One. Facebook has this enormous power, and their immediate reaction when people started complaining is like, well, we get to do this because this doesn't violate the terms of service, because the terms of service apparently allow us to do just this, and therefore it's okay. And it turns out it's not okay. It is not okay for them to be manipulating their users for their own profit in this incredibly, incredibly controlling way.
So I'm gonna flip that around on you again, okay, just to play devil's advocate. But I do agree with some of this. You say with great power comes great responsibility. I use that and say if Facebook isn't doing studies like this, they are being irresponsible simply because we need to know, right? They have the ability. They have all of these users. They are in the spot better than anyone else to do this research and continue to kind of move knowledge forward in terms of this kind of thing. Now, there is that responsibility. Then there is the responsibility you pointed out, which of course is research responsibly. So not doing the research is irresponsible. Doing the research involves some level of responsibility that they did not use in this case.
I personally utterly reject the idea that not doing the research is somehow irresponsible. I mean, this is social networking is something that should be for the use of the folks and not for the not for folks to be manipulated for the profit of this large company.
Yeah, okay, but are they? But I'm going to back up there because I've noticed for me, and I'm sure this is true of others, and this is why this study came about, that if I wind up reading things, my mood is definitely altered by reading things on both Twitter and Facebook to the point where, there are many times where I will simply choose not to read anything there because I don't want to mess with myself, right?
Sure.
So I had noticed this sort of anecdotally for one person, me, and I think it is important that we as a society understand what can happen here because, you know, there's an addiction, right? And part of that addiction of reading Facebook is that attachment to, you know, the dopamine receptors, right? I see seeing new updates from your friends is enough, right, to trigger those. Similar, but not quite to the same extent as getting new email in is enough to trigger those, right? So it is really important that we do these studies as a people and understand and publish the results and understand what's going on and how these things can affect us because it really will screw with us as a society. It already screws with us as a society. Now, so, again, go ahead.
Well, extending what you're saying, the ends justify the means. And
no,
that's the part that I'm rejecting.
No, there are responsible ways to do this study. What I was taking issue with was you saying that Facebook you disagree that Facebook should be doing studies like this. Someone should be using Facebook data to do studies like this. Absolutely. And I firmly stand behind that. Now, do the ends justify the means? No, they like you said, there are ways of doing studies without telling people what, you know, being somewhat transparent and not entirely transparent such that Schrodinger's, you know, idea about ruining the results by telling people what you're doing is happens.
I see a couple problems here, and both of them are issues for Facebook. The first one is that people have the belief that Facebook is a social network for their own use, when in fact Facebook is a marketing system that uses social networking as a tool to gather information about us to sell ads. The other problem is that there's the whole trust issue. And while Facebook needs to have information that makes their business more profitable, in this case, how to gauge moods and attitudes online to be able to target ads better, well, they have a trust issue. And if they're not conducting their research in a way that that enhances trust among their users, then that trust will simply be lost.
And then there's another issue here besides me being all tense about privacy and the corporation using us. There were hundreds of thousands of people who had their days deliberately altered. And who knows what the ramifications of that are? Who knows?
It's true. Somebody could have died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if right?
At the divorces could have happened. Breakups could have happened. On the flip side, marriage proposals may have happened. Who knows? It's just, it offends me. It clearly offends me.
Yeah. No, and it's good that we're having this conversation, right? Because, and I don't just mean the three of us here. I mean, now, you know, us in general, because it's important. Again, it's important to understand how things like Facebook and Twitter and just the concept of having access to the whole of humanity's knowledge in your pocket affects our lives. I mean, it affects our moods. And then, like you said, there are these ripple effects of you know, maybe somebody called in sick to work because they weren't feeling well, but really it was that they were a little run down and then read, you know, depressing stuff on Facebook and decided, no, I'm not going to go to work. And then, you know, there's all kinds of the you know, all kinds of things that can happen that may seem very, very subtle and harmless, as opposed to someone who was clinically depressed now being fed by Facebook nothing but depressing posts, and let's hope no one died. I mean, there is that, right? You know, that is a valid, grave concern, and they need to do better about this, but they do need to do this research.
Okay. Well, I would love to just go on. Like, we could probably talk for hours on this. I wanted to look at another topic too, which is probably going to be a little more lighthearted. And it's that Apple was actively involved in San Francisco's gay pride parade this weekend.
Indeed. Turns out that Apple had a contingent at the gay pride parade. There were t-shirts that were made. It used to be that Apple did special t-shirts all the time. And Tim Cook was out and posed with lots of folks. There were lots of Twitter pictures with him and other gay pride parade participants, and definitely an interesting weekend.
I do want to just clarify one thing, Brian, which you, I don't think, said intentionally, but you said Tim Cook was out. He was in attendance. And
I was using the other usage of out.
I know you
That's
were,
true, but words have meaning.
Words and, have meaning, and he is not out, to my knowledge. We do not know from Tim anyway any specifics about his sexuality. Nor do we need to.
Right. Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, it doesn't matter, and frankly, I don't care what. What I saw out of this as the real cool thing was that Apple, being an industry leader and being very influential, not only worldwide, but in their local community, was very openly and actively involved in supporting equal rights for everyone.
Yes.
There were 5,000 Apple employees there. That's pretty good.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, Apple marched to the parade. They had a big banner. Yeah, Tim was doing selfies with people, and I think that was really good. And my guess is that there will be people that are gay that will see this or did see this, and maybe if they were feeling wrong or bad, which is just a horrible, sad injustice, if someone needs to feel that way about who they are, maybe this will help them feel better about who they are.
Maybe.
Yeah, but either way, I just thought it was really cool that Apple was out there actively supporting and being a community leader. That was just really cool to see.
Did they obviously, by nature of them bringing t-shirts and banners and all of that, they put some money into this. Did they donate any cash to the parade or to the cause or anything like that we know of?
Not that we know of.
Okay. I'm just curious. It's, you know, it's an interesting thing. I mean, clearly they put some resources behind this, and that's great. Like, it's, you know, they have done a lot for the Bay Area, both positive and negative. A lot of the negative just being sort of incidental. And it's good to see them out there, you know, acting as a community leader, like you said.
Yeah, yep. I think it's great. All right, so there we go. We have a happy note to end on. So I think we've hit a great wrap-up point. Dave, thank you for joining me today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, man.
Well, sure. Yep. And Brian, thank you too.
Oh, yeah.